This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 468 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, it's 2023 and we're going to review the year. Every year we have a chance to get together and talk about the things that are coming up to Walt Disney World and Disneyland and the Disney Company in general. We like to cover a lot of these things, even though we know ahead of time, sometimes it might not happen. However, we're going to use all the information we have right now, though, to go ahead and go month by month and discuss everything that's coming up this year. To help me do that, I've got a whole boatload of people here to help me. First one is Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
What is happening?
Not much. Other than this great 2023, so much coming up. I can't wait.
Talking about things that are coming up, I am less than 48 hours from being on a plane to Orlando.
Outstanding. Can't wait. I'm about a week away from that too. So very, very cool. Along with us tonight, we have Melissa also. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, everyone. It is 2023 is going to be a great year. I think I'm less than 40 days from being on a plane going to Disney finally.
And nice. I think you're going to make the meetups this year, aren't you?
Yep. We'll be at the meetup as well.
Oh, excellent. Very yay. Cool. And we also have Morgan with us tonight. Hey, Morgan.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I'm with Ed. I'm on a 7-day countdown. And yeah, can I, is it bad that I've already packed?
No, but I've just done laundry and I'm getting ready.
Is it bad that we're not packed yet?
Actually, yes. No, I spoke with your wife and she says she's packed. So I don't know about you.
She's currently working on it. Oh, yeah. She's like, I think this time you're going to have to pack yourself. I'm like, okay, I'm going to grab the same 4 pairs of shorts and 6 shirts and some underwear and socks.
I was watching the weather. And your week is going to be warm, but going into our week, the first 2 days are in the 70s, but then it goes to the lower 70s.
When I get there Saturday night, it's going to be 30 degrees.
Crazy. Ooh. Yeah.
Do you even have clothes for that, Jimmy?
I've got a hoodie.
You might need more than a hoodie for 30 degree weather.
We're going to figure it out. I don't know. I'll be indoors a lot, I guess.
Be liquid warming.
World, New Walt Disney World sweatshirts are going to be purchased.
I'm just imagining like Jimmy running from like corridor to corridor.
Technically I'll be at Universal on Saturday. So I'll be at the other.
Oh, we don't say that word.
Park. I know.
What we're going to do tonight is talk 2023. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to go month by month. And for the first 3 months, we've got that nailed because Disney's got all the dates out and we can kind of tune it in and get right to it. Past that, however, it's a little bit more fluid. So we're going to give you seasons as we continue on through summer, fall, and then winter. However, before we get into the whole year of 2023, however, there were some great things that were just announced this past week. Jimmy, tell us what happened.
So I think one of the biggest ones that came out, and this came out 2 days ago on January 10th, and it took place that day, went into effect immediately. And that was the announcement that Walt Disney World was going to offer complimentary parking at resort hotels for guests. So that is a big turnaround. And I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a few years since they've implemented that parking, that nightly overnight parking fee.
Right. It's been about 4 years now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of coincidental that this is the first trip in a long time I've actually rented a car.
And it also played a part into me renting a car. And I, for the first couple nights, again, I'll be at the other park in Orlando. and their hotels charge $18 a night.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Now, we were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago, about one of the unpopular things that have been introduced to the parks in the last couple of years. One of the quote-unquote nitpicking. So great to hear this been reversed. Maybe other things now.
It's actually really cool. As somebody who drives to Disney all the time and staying on property and not having to pay that extra fee, and especially when it like first started, I don't even know if I'm consistently being charged for the parking. So I'm good that, you know, I don't have to worry about it anymore. Right. And if you think about it, if you have a vehicle and say you have breakfast or dining reservations at a resort, those people are parking and they're not paying the parking fee. So
well,
I'm glad
overnight.
It's just gone.
Sure. Now you brought up a good point too, because when we were dropped off by my wife for a trip one time, we were charged for the parking fee because we weren't on the Disney Express bus. So they assumed that we had parked in the lot and that's why we'd gotten charged. So every bill, when we go to the park and stay at their hotels, we got to make sure they don't charge us for the parking if we didn't bring a car.
I think
so. I'm psyched not to do that now.
I think what triggers it is when you drive through and use your magic band to enter the resort. Because if you take an Uber to the to the resort and they just show their ID and say, I'm just have a drop off, and they don't scan your band, then it doesn't trigger that. But when you you give the Uber driver your band and they scan in, get the gate to open, it triggers that you use your band to
still a flaw though.
Enter the resort. Yeah. Sure. They're gonna go the other way and charge you, and then you tell them, hey, I didn't have a car. And then they'll reverse the charges.
And they were happy to reverse it. It's just a matter of how many people never look.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Because if you don't look at that folio and it's on there, they just charge it to your credit card along with any other charges that you had while you were there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I heard there was an AP announcement too, an annual pass.
So coming soon, and they haven't given us a date, but because they said soon, I'm assuming it's going to be fairly soon. Annual pass holders will not have to, they can go to any park at 2 o'clock without a park reservation, with the exception of Magic Kingdom on Saturdays and Sunday.
However, you could still go there if you made your reservation at Epcot and you just go at 2.
Yeah. Correct. But at Magic Kingdom on Saturdays and Sundays, you have to set a reservation either there or at another park and then hop over.
This one's this one's kind of a non-issue in my eyes. It's not a big deal. I think if I'm going at 2 o'clock, I could still schedule that park to go at 2 o'clock.
Well, let me tell you where it becomes an issue is that when I had a reservation and you were there, Ed, I think this was in June, I had a reservation at Hollywood Studios and I ended up not really going in that morning. We ended up doing something else. And I wanted to go to Magic Kingdom. Well, then I had to, and they didn't have a reservation at Magic Kingdom. So then I had to go to Hollywood Studios, walk in the park, scan my band, walk out the park, and then go to the park I wanted to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a reservation at that second park.
Yeah, good point.
That fixes that.
It's also great for the locals.
Oh, yeah.
And Melissa can attest to it because she used to live locally and I used to live locally. One thing I loved about living locally, I got off work and I was like, you know what? I just feel like watching the fireworks. Or there's a band playing for Food and Wine. You know, as a local, now when it starts going into effect, you don't have to worry about, oh man, I got to make the park reservation. I got to do this, that.
No,
if you
want to
go, just go.
One of the other announcements that they came out with that said soon is that now if you purchase Genie Plus, your ride photos and videos will be included for that day.
Oh, that's a nice one.
So not photo pass. Yeah, so not photo pass altogether. You don't get, it's not the same thing as having Memory Maker because it doesn't include the pictures that are taken down Main Street. The one that photographers physically take are not included. But your ride photos and videos are included.
That's great.
Which is a great value. That adds a little value to the Genie Plus.
Mm-hmm. Is it only the rides that you book with Genie Plus? Or if I wait in the standby line for teacups?
Teacups
doesn't have one. But, you know,
any ride photos or videos for that day.
Yeah, I would assume. Because, if you think about it, like, you get it, you know, I don't think there's I don't use Genie Plus, and I get my ride photos, so they don't. Yeah, I don't see why they would make it specific.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think it'll be all your ride photos. You'll get all your photos and videos for that day.
Yeah, no, it's an extra bonus for getting the Genie Plus. It makes sense because you didn't get it before.
Yep, I like it.
Nice.
And then one cool thing that I noticed added on to, I think it was the Genie Plus, and I'm looking for it on our website. Actually, no, it wasn't the Genie Plus. It was the annual pass holders. They snuck it in there. Pass holders are going to get access to the Disney PhotoPlus lenses and one complimentary Cinderella Castle Mural of Memories experience.
What?
Yeah, this was kind of weird. Like, I had to click on it and be like, what is this Cinderella Castle Mural experience thing?
The murals have to be the mosaics in there, right? In the walkthrough? The tunnel? Well,
it's... When you click on it, because there's a link, and like I said, when you go to the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com, it says add your PhotoPass photo to an augmented reality mural superimposed on Cinderella Castle.
Gotcha. Okay, so, cool. Interesting.
Yeah, they slipped that in there, which, I mean, it's not big news, but it, like...
The lenses are cool, though.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that pass holders will be able to pick up their Dumbo magnet.
I did get that.
I saw that. I got my notification today.
When is the date, Jimmy?
January 18th.
Okay.
Are they giving them out or are they sending them?
No, you have to go to the creation shop and there's no virtual queue. You got to go there and scan your Magic Band, your My Magic Plus, or your physical ID with a photo ID.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Just in time.
Yep.
Well, January is already shaping up to be an exciting month. And from Disney Plus, we actually had two new seasons come already dropped. So on the 4th, we had the Magic of Animal Kingdom season 2. I think most of us saw first season during COVID. Yep. It was fantastic. You got to go behind the scenes of Animal Kingdom and interact with or see the cast members and the caretakers interact with some of the animals and their stories and their exhibits. And then the other one was Star Wars Bad Batch season 2. Jimmy, have you already started that one?
I watched the first two episodes. I haven't watched the third, which came out.
Get on it. Third was yesterday.
While you guys were doing Star Wars, I've already binged season 2 of The Magic of Animal Kingdom.
Good.
I might have done that the day it came out because it's so cool.
It is good. It's great.
And it's great, especially if you are an animal lover. If you haven't watched them, you need to watch them because it also makes your experience at Animal Kingdom better. But one thing that's kind of cool is they also went to like the Vero Beach because they have the turtles there. So it wasn't just Animal Kingdom, which was kind of cool. It just kind of went through all the animal conservation because we went to Vero Beach as well. But I may or may not binge it again before I go next week.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Now, some of the other things happening in the parks in January are, first of all, the 100th anniversary begins in January. We have a beginning date, January 27th. It begins in California and in Florida. And California has a lot of different things going on at Disneyland on that opening date. Did you know they're getting a Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad out there too?
I have heard that. Yeah.
That's going to open on January 27th. They also have the new Magic.
Go ahead. Is this the 100th anniversary of the company? Is that what this is?
Yes. Correct. Mm-hmm. 1923.
Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
They also have the new Magic Happens Parade out in California, which sounds like it's going to be a very, very cool parade. So a lot of things happening for the 100th, and I'm sure there's going to be so many more announcements coming down the road. We've seen a lot of merch already coming out. We've seen a lot of like third-party companies starting to come out with 100th anniversary things. I think we've been seeing some Lego items and some other dolls and things like that. So, you know, 100th is going to be a big thing. I've already upped my membership at the Franklin Institute because the Disney's 100th, the touring show is coming around. That begins in February for us. So I'm definitely going to probably hit that a couple of times with different people.
And then we mentioned we'll all be heading down there. So the Epcot International Festival of the Arts starts tomorrow.
Right.
Which is January 13th.
Right. And then they also started the After Hours in Hollywood Studios in January. So it's already started and it's going out throughout the rest of January. I'm not sure how long it's going on for, but that's an extra ticket event.
Nice.
Cool.
One of the other things I think is, you know, fairly big news, and they're going to do this for Festival of the Arts, is they're re-releasing the Figment popcorn bucket.
Nice.
And it'll be available throughout Festival of the Arts.
Yep, we actually talked about this last week because we were wondering if it's the same one. So it's the same shape, if you guys didn't listen last week, but it's going to have the Epcot 40th strap, which is kind of cool. And it looks like it definitely will be in the little Figment Center, which is, I think we said it's going to be in the Odyssey.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a new meet and greet center.
Yeah. And I've seen photos. There are lots of little Figment merchandise for the Festival of the Arts in that center. So if Figment fans will be beelining to that building.
Oh, I'm not a huge cake fan, but there's a cake that I saw a picture of that's rainbow. So each layer of the cake are the different, you know, are G Biv. What is
Roy G. Biv, correct.
Roy G. Biv. There we go. It's like Roy G. Biv of each layer of cake with maybe a buttercream in between. And then on top are frozen Skittles that
I did see that, sort of
like popcorn consistency, someone said. So I might actually have to try that out. And I'm sure we'll have a whole podcast about the different foods that are going to be at the festival this year.
Well, that's one thing that's kind of cool about the Arts Festival is not only are you, like, the food is art too. Like, you, even if you don't normally take pictures of food, you want to take pictures of your food with what you're getting from the Arts Festival.
Sure. This year, the contest, not the contest, but I guess the game where you go around to the different food booths and collect different or buy different items, you get your bookmarked, and then you go back and you get the artist cookie, which I think looked like an artist palette, you know, where they put the paints, which is awesome looking. I mean, it's a great, great looking cookie for just a cookie. So good stuff. Always great. And they always do great stuff like that. At any of the festivals, you're always going to look like you're going to find stuff that's very, very unique and very fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. I was wrong really quick. The parade in Disneyland actually starts in February, which is the month we're getting into now. So a little mistake there, but it's still in the beginning of the year, part of the 100th.
And before we get into February, I want to just give a huge shout out to all of the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend runners that did the marathon or Dopey this past week. Past week, there was a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, and a full marathon. If you did all of those, you did the Dopey Challenge. So regardless if you did one race or all four, congratulations, way to go.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's the only full marathon in Disney, right?
Right.
All the other races a year, they go 5K, 10K, and then half.
Right.
I'm tired just listening about it.
I know, right?
I mean, okay. it's great photo ops because all those medals on your chest. Yeah, it's really cool.
Sure. I'm sure. Okay. So let's move on to February.
Yeah. February 1st, we are going to have a new Marvel series. So it's Marvel Moon Girl and Devil Dino. It's going to be an animated series about a 13-year-old girl and her 10-ton T-Rex as they look to protect New York City. It looks like a lot of fun.
I've never heard of this one. That does sound good.
On the theater side, on the 17th, we will also get another Marvel movie. We'll have Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania.
By the way, they just dropped
the trailer. Yeah.
The trailer for that. And Kang the Conqueror.
Yep.
Is coming to the movie theater, which is amazing. And if you follow the Marvel stuff and you watch the Loki series, Kang is the timekeeper. So I'm very excited about that one, actually.
Yeah, it looks good.
Well, we certainly will expect to see a tie-in because we'll get a little further in the year, but we're going to see Loki coming back.
Nice. Oh, yeah, they definitely will set it up, I bet. It's got to be like The Mandalorian and Boba Fett, where they were totally on top of each other. It was crazy how they did those stories. Very cool. Looking forward to that. Do we have anything running going on in February?
Yeah, for February, there'll be the Disney Princess Half Marathon. So again, you're gonna have the 5K, the 10K, and the half marathon. And I want to say, I mean, they've obviously already released the medals. And of course, we'll know about the merchandise usually like a couple of days before everybody heads down. But yeah, that's a really a good one. It's the 15th anniversary, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be February 23rd through the 26th.
Nice.
Princess Half Marathon. That's my life goal someday. It always looks so fun. They have, you know, sunrise yoga. They got the expo.
Yeah.
They have lots of, you know, fun costumes and things.
My first run Disney race was the Disney Princess 5K. So it does have a little place in my heart. They usually do a different princess every year. Looks like Jasmine's going to be for the 5K, Belle's the 10K, Moana is for the half marathon. And if you do all of the races, it's called the Fairy Tale Challenge, and that's got Cinderella.
Nice.
Someday, Morgan, we can do a girls marathon Disney nerd sponsored.
When y'all something. Do it, y'all let me know and I'll come cheer you on.
Yeah, I'll cheer you on too.
I'll hand you water as you run by.
Okay, I don't know if I can commit to a half marathon, but I 10K is my limit at this point, but I will still go and run races up into a half marathon. Because
any racing, like you said, if they did a 5K, 10K, just being down there and running,
yeah,
they're hero.
We'll do the yoga. We'll do everything. We just won't do the half marathon because I don't want to be in a wheelchair for the rest of the weekend in the park.
Yeah, right. Well, very cool. So that sounds like a really active February, and we're on the March. So March, Disneyland is reopening their Toontown. So it's great to know that Toontown still is alive and active somewhere in the world. Also in March, we've got the Flower and Garden Show starting. Now, I'm not sure if there's an exact date yet, but normally it starts in the early part of that month. So we will see. And the other thing happening in March, which is something that hasn't happened in a year and a half, Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary ends. So it's March, finally here. It's
through March. It was the 18-month celebration. Yeah. Also, if you want to head down for in March for Flower and Garden, Disney did come out with a promo that you can save up to 25% on select rooms, resort rooms, this spring and early summer. So it's 20% on most days, March 1st through March 31st, and then save up to 25% on most days, most nights, April 10th through July 10th.
Great. Good deals.
Yeah, so, it's really nice to see some specials coming through. And of course, Jimmy is the official travel agent of the Disney Nerds podcast. So if you guys need help booking a trip, contact Jimmy, or you can contact myself. I do work for Jimmy. So
how do we get in touch with you guys?
The best way is probably either on Facebook directly or at the Welcome Home Travel Company Facebook page. Or you can email welcomehometravel@yahoo.com.
Nice. So real quick story, and we'll move on to the next month. I just had a really great little bit of news today. I had added Leslie to my room at Pop Century for next week when we get down there. And Jimmy added her because he's my travel agent. He also let me know that because of the annual pass discount and because it continued on, that I saved an extra $50 or $55 actually on my rooms. So very, very cool news. And that's why, even though I could do all this traveling arrangements and I could set up the hotel rooms and all the other stuff, that's why I use Jimmy, because he gets those deals. He's always on it. So very cool. Thank you. Okay, before we move on, Melissa, what's happening on the tube?
Yeah, so March 1st, we get Mandalorian Season 3, which I think of all the things that are coming, and there are 55 plus new things or, you know, season editions on Disney Plus coming this year. Mandalorian is probably one of the top for me.
That made my April even better now. Wow. Very cool. I mean, that just made March even better.
Very exciting.
Okay, so moving on to April. April is going to be a very, very good month. The biggest announcement for April is the opening of Tron at the Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World.
Yay. I'm so excited for Tron. It looks awesome.
Yep, we've been watching this for a while. Do you have the exact date? I thought it was the 7th or the 13th or something like that.
It's
the 4th.
The 4th. Okay, there you go. Perfect. Can't wait for that.
You going to fly down opening weekend?
Nah, I wish I could, but
we'll see. He'd call you, Jimmy, for it to book a trip.
He would. He absolutely would. And he would call me and want me to go with him.
Definitely.
So me and Ed were already talking possibly about a summer trip. So maybe with Tron being open, that might push me a little more to definitely get down there, you know, maybe in June.
Oh, no doubt. So other things happening in the parks in April, Happily Ever After is returning on 4/3. Mm-hmm. Harmonious's last show is on April 2nd. So that's kind of a momentous occasion.
And I think they've confirmed now that all the, like, the barges and stuff in World Showcase Lagoon will be gone.
So when they did the announcement for the fireworks ending, so you've got Harmonious ending and Imagine Kingdom Disney Enchantment ending. They did say for Epcot that our favorite nighttime show, Epcot Forever, is going to be the interim show. So that's probably why the barges are moving, because Epcot Forever is coming back.
The jet skis,
yeah.
Yeah, they should be back.
That's a great interim show. That's going to be the claim to fame for that one. It's the interim show, period.
I mean, it's cool because it incorporates so much classic Epcot stuff.
I love the soundtrack.
It's not the best show in the world. But
it's something.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for them to announce Illuminations 2023.
Something like that. Supposedly the show is going to be at the end of the year, so we'll see what they come up with.
Yep.
It is kind of funny, though, as we're going through these lists, we're seeing some of the missteps of Disney being corrected. The first being the parking at the hotels. This now, Harmonious. They're definitely looking at some of the things they've done that might not have worked out as well as they had thought.
And, I mean, so a couple things, you know, to go along with that. Enchantments, we discussed that right in the beginning when it came out, whether or not it was going to be the new show or was it just a 50th show and Happily Ever After. Now, I don't know if that was the plan the whole time from Disney, but, you know, I thought initially that it was just the 50th show, which it seems to be. I don't know if they plan to keep it. Maybe they were playing it by ear. I don't know. Josh D'Amaro did state, though, that, you know, all these changes are coming directly from guests feedback.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And a lot of people have already given Bob Iger credit for it, but I think Josh D'Amaro has already said that, you know, it's not specifically because of Bob Iger. It's a lot of these things were in the works before.
Sure. A lot of these things have to be 6 months out at least or more for changes like this to happen. Yeah. But yeah, no, they definitely heard the complaints. I think the biggest downfall to the show at Epcot, Harmonious show, was the daytime appearance of it. I thought the show itself was okay. I thought the music was excellent. I think, however, walking around Epcot in the daylight and seeing everything going on in that pond, not that great.
I also think that it suffered from the same thing that Enchantment did a little bit, is that you don't get there. You limited to specific viewing areas to get the best possible show.
And that's a big part of Harmonious.
As opposed to Wishes and Illuminations, which it didn't matter. Those two shows, like Illuminations, it didn't matter. You could be anywhere pretty much in World Showcase, or as long as you were around a lagoon, you got the full show.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Wishes. It kind of didn't matter where you were in Magic Kingdom. You could be behind the castle and still get the show. You could be in Liberty Square and still get the show.
Even with Happily Ever After, you don't have to be in a specific spot.
Directly,
like, you'll be front, but you don't have to be directly in front.
Right. It's funny, thinking back to Illuminations, the only real decision you had to make where you wanted to stand for Illuminations was where the wind was blowing.
Yeah.
So you weren't in the smoke. But, you kept track of that, and everywhere was great. The other big thing about Illuminations, which seems really stupidly small, but the blowing out of the torches right before it began was great.
Hit you right in the feels.
Cue the Illuminations soundtrack.
Good evening. On behalf of Walt Disney World, the place where dreams come true, we welcome all of you to Epcot and World Showcase. We're gathered here tonight, around the fire, as people of all lands have gathered for thousands and thousands of years before us, to share the light and to share a story. An amazing story, as old as time itself, but still being written. And though each of us has our own individual stories to tell, a true adventure emerges when we bring them all together as one. We hope you enjoy our story tonight, Reflections of Earth.
Okay, so what do we have coming to Disney Plus?
At this point of the year, Disney Plus is more generic into spring, summer, fall. So as far as all of spring, we're expecting to see Marvel's Secret Invasion, which is something we've been looking forward to. I think they announced it at D23. Star Wars, actually we get two Star Wars additions in the spring. The first is Star Wars Visions. And this is an animated series where seven Japanese anime studios are going to be bringing their unique talents and interpretation of a galaxy far, far away. And each episode will be a different studio and a different take in terms of animation style and story.
Didn't they do this already with something? Was it Star Wars already?
Yeah, they did a season one last year.
Oh, it was great. Okay, great, great. Because it was incredible.
Yeah.
Just to see the little bit of a different take on the characters that we've all grown up with.
Now I gotta go watch it. I watched I watched like the first one and a half and I kind of got stuck.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Well, definitely worth it.
And my boyfriend is a big anime fan plus a Star Wars fan. So this was right up his alley and we both enjoyed it. It was really cool. So I'm excited to see what the next season is going to be. Side note, I'm also excited about the merchandise for Visions because that's just easier for me to buy something for my boyfriend. So,
well, Morgan, you can also look at Star Wars Young Jedi Adventure. That's also expected to come out in spring. And not a lot is known about that yet. So unless someone has heard something inside, that is, it's been pretty secret so far.
I wonder if that could be from the High Republic. Because they mention a lot of young Jedis back in that storyline. Hey, we'll see. Looking forward to it.
Could be. A couple other things we have.
Sorry. Say it again.
A couple other things we have going on for spring will be Prom Pack. So this is going to be a live action, more your tween, kind of a high school drama. But the cast is fairly well known. So if that's kind of your musical, fun tween high school show, it will be a good movie to watch. And then in the theater, we do get two new movies. So another Marvel, we will get on May 5th, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And we think there's a little bit of a preview ramp up as we saw the Christmas edition. And then at the end of May, just in time for Memorial Day weekend, we'll finally have that live action Little Mermaid.
Nice. Can't wait for the Guardians movie. Hopefully the ride will then react to it as far as changing up somehow.
That would be fun.
Although it is pretty young in a ride's life to change anything, but we will see.
I think that we'll see it. That cast seems to really enjoy filming for Disney rides and attractions, and Taika Waititi is a big fan. So
yeah,
very cool.
You're right. You're right about that, though. I think it's so hilarious the stuff they did for that attraction. It's incredible, and you can tell that they really like what they do. So it's
sure. And that was the same out in California. With the Tower of Terror conversion.
Yeah, they love it.
It's exactly perfect. Yeah. It was right on because it was a lot of them doing that. So perfect stuff. Can't wait. Something else spring-wise that's coming, and we've been hearing about this for a long time, the Roundup Rodeo Barbecue, the Toy Story restaurant, is bound to be opening sometime then. It's in the, as far as I can figure out, it's as you come into Toy Story Land, right past Woody on the right, is where it's going to be. That's where the wall was set up anyway, right before you get to the dinosaur, right before the roller coaster. So looking forward to it. And obviously it's a barbecue place based on the title. I haven't seen a menu yet.
That is a long time coming. I think there was a pre-COVID D23 announcement, and that just sort of got put on pause.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty much. So
I do want to bring up, before we get too far into spring, that in April, the 2023 Run Disney season ends, and that's going to be the springtime surprise weekend, April 13th through the 16th. And every year, this theme is going to change for this particular weekend. This year, it is all Pixar themed. So anybody running the race in April will be doing Pixar themed races.
Now, would that race run through Hollywood Studios? Or is it always the same place?
Most of the races kind of have the same track. Like a 5K is always going to be in Epcot typically. Last year there was an exception for last April springtime surprise, because they did an Expedition Everest 5K and we ran through Animal Kingdom, which I did that. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome.
That's usually why I'm asking about this.
Yeah. A 10K, and April also has a 10 miler. You're going to do Epcot and Hollywood, and you mm-hmm. might, and of course, longer races, you're going to go through more parks, like the marathon, all four parks.
Sure. Sure. Oh, very good.
So if I just go visit all four parks, can I call it a marathon?
No.
Can I get one of those little 26?
I'll let you, Jimmy. I'll let you call it a marathon.
Can I actually get one of those little 26.2 stickers and put it in my car?
I'll make you one, Jimmy. Okay, we'll just do drank.
But I've visited all four parks. Darn it!
I'll make you a drank 26.
Well, if you run
miles
to each of the parks,
yeah,
that'd be the difference.
Like from the Skyliner.
No, yeah, like on the road. Oh, and like since it won't since it won't be blocked off for you, I wouldn't recommend.
I feel like y'all are so judgmental.
No, we have your safety in mind. We don't want you running on the roads with all the Disney traffic.
Oh man.
We're trying to keep you alive.
Whatever.
Right. Okay. So we're moving on to May. And May we have the Typhoon Lagoon H2O Glow Nights returning, which I haven't been to yet. I haven't been to a water park yet, but I definitely this sounds like a great time. No, I have
never been to a water park.
Let me rephrase that. I haven't been to a Disney water park.
Okay. Yeah. But still, that surprises me actually.
It comes back to the whole time is like, we don't want to spend any time outside the parks because you can't waste any time. You got to get to the parks and you got to spend all your time in the parks when we had the kids there. It was a mistake. I admit it now. But
especially in the summer, because you need to cool off. It is just hot in the summer. The pool sometimes doesn't do it.
Sure. But you don't waste time swimming in the pool either, though. You're at the parks. At the parks. Always at the parks.
I mean, look, we've been once, but I am partly guilty. That's why we've only been once. But I would do the H2O Glow Nights, though, considering that you could do park most of the day and just go end your day there.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
Yep. And it wasn't that expensive.
New idea, Ed. We need to have a scavenger hunt in one of the water parks. And they'll be totally new for you.
Yeah, it would be.
My only concern.
That means I have to go twice then.
Well, my only concern would be then you're asking everybody to pay to go.
Well, sure, yeah. You have to go there. Like we mentioned, some of the months are a little sparse, so we're kind of breeze pie them. Like June, for the parks and the resorts, it's kind of sparse. There's not much going on there. How about TV and movies?
For Disney Plus, it does get a little quiet in the summer months, and that's because they're going to go heavy into the theater. So we'll start with Disney Plus, which is going to be Echo. That'll be a new Marvel series, but you'll recognize the main character, which is Maya Lopez, and you'll remember her from the Hawkeye Christmas episodes last year.
That's right. Yep.
Yep. And then you'll finally get that Loki season 2. Once you're in the theater, summer is just jam-packed. June 16th, we'll get Elemental. June 30th, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. July 28th, The Marvels, which is going to be both Captain Marvel and, if you recall, the Disney Plus series. So they'll team up.
Okay.
And then August 11th, Jimmy, you'll enjoy this, Haunted Mansion.
Very excited about that, by the way.
I am too. That's one of the theater ones I probably will go see.
Is there a big star in it?
There's multiple big stars.
I haven't seen or heard anything about it.
Jamie Lee Curtis is Madame Leota, and they announced that at the D23 Expo.
Okay, that's a good one. Good. Awesome. Looking forward to that too. Some of the festivals coming through the summer, it's kind of weird how we get the one. Food and Wine starts in July, which we're getting used to because this will be the third year, or we're guessing it's going to start in July since it has the last two. But the Food and Wine starts and it goes usually till November.
So talking about food, on the travel front, Disney released this, which I'm really hoping this is a precursor to them bringing back Dining Plan, which I think it is. But that's just my opinion. That's not anything that I've heard, or it's just my opinion that this could be a precursor to the Dining Plan eventually coming back. But they've released a stay, play, and enjoy a Disney Dining promo card for our stays from July 1st through July 10th, then August 1st through September 14th. You can get up to a $750 Disney Dining promo card when you purchase a non-discounted 5-night, 4-day vacation package that includes a room at a deluxe Disney Deluxe Resort or Deluxe Villa and theme park tickets. Lesser amounts for other hotels.
And this is why you need a travel agent.
So do you actually pay the $750 for that then?
What do you mean?
I'm not understanding this. Are you getting the credit because you're booking and you're getting $750?
Correct.
Or are you buying a $750 card?
No. If you book, you get up to a $750. So basically,
okay.
So basically on a deluxe resort, you would receive $150 per room per night applied to a digital Disney Dining promo card.
Which would probably be controlled through your app.
And then, maybe. They may give you an actual card.
Digital. It said digital. That's what threw me there.
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, digital. Yeah, so you're probably right. It's probably going to be in the app. It'll probably just be a barcode. Mm. And then $100 per night for the moderates, and then $50 per night per room for the
So now the times are very specific. We only have a week in July, and it sounds like maybe 4 weeks for that August to September. Is it because there's nobody? That can't be the case. There's not going to be anybody there. So I'm not figuring this one out.
Disney's pretty smart at what July? They do. So July 1st through the 10th?
That's
I don't know. The 1st through the 10th is interesting because of 4th of July. Yeah. But the dates in August and September make sense because that's back to school. And usually there's a hurricane that's going through Central Florida Labor Day. So that one
or
makes
in
sense.
November.
But to Ed's point, the July one did surprise me.
Here's what comes to my mind about that. Maybe they're trying to test it out on a busy week and seeing how that works that way. And it's only for that, you know, week. 10 days, whatever that was. Then they're doing the big one when it's empty and see how that works for the month-long one. Interesting. We'll see how it happens.
The credit is... Sorry. Say it again.
I don't remember what I said.
Sorry. The credit is a really good idea. It provides a lot of flexibility for families, so you can decide whether you want to have a sit down or you want a snack or you want to eat through all the different booths at Epcot. You're not beholden to reservations, which is what Disney has said, at least to the public, why they haven't brought the dining plans back, is they just cannot provide enough reservations for everyone to be able to use those credits.
And you never know, this could be a preview of a new type of dining plan where you get a credit instead of you have this many full service meals, this many snacks. You know, this could be a precursor to it.
This is something that we've seen in the past when schools and stuff do like group trips, that they offer dining cards like that. You could give to the kids and they can go use at a restaurant.
But usually you're paying for those. That's part of your cost to your trip.
Well, I agree. I agree. But so this is part of just a promo because they're trying to sell rooms. We've seen dining cards before is my point.
It's very similar to what they used to run in the fall, which was the you booked a room and ticket and you got a free dining plan.
Yeah.
And it was those limited weeks on limited types of rooms or, you know, what the different plans of dining that you got based on room tier. So this just feels very similar to that.
We did. I mean, that's how I experienced most of the restaurants I have in Disney, is because we used to go Labor Day week, and that time they offered free dining almost every year. So in the beginning, it was just free dining. There was no separation between, you know, the dining and then counter service dining. No, it was just dining. Right. And it included the appetizer. When it first came out, it included the appetizer, an entree, a dessert, and it included gratuity.
Right. The gratuity
was then eventually tummy. They took the appetizer away, and eventually it didn't include gratuity. But the original plan was incredible.
Sure. Definitely.
They kind of whittled that away a little bit, but
that's what made the breakdown of the plan, or the plan when it kind of whittled down, so much worse if you did it originally the first couple of years when you had everything. Oh, yep. It's great. It's awesome. And the restaurants were basically unlimited. You can get Victoria and Albert's. The Brown Derby was another one that was just a restaurant we never would have gone to other than the dining plan.
And eventually they changed that too. And they took some of those and made them signature, where it took two credits instead of one.
Yep.
Eventually they threw Le Cellier into that. Originally, it was not that way. It was just one credit.
I was going to say, you know what actually really killed the dining plan for us family-wise? It was our kids couldn't eat enough. Once they become adults, once they became 10 years old, they couldn't eat enough for us to afford to buy the dining plan for them. So that's why we stopped using it.
I don't think I've ever paid for the dining plan. Now, okay. I think at one point when they did introduce the quick service dining plan, I think it was at a fairly good deal. They usually were. But you're right. The whole dining plan for a 10-year-old was a lot, because it was just a lot of food. And so many people, like, they're buying so many Rice Krispie treats at the store before they leave because they couldn't use up all the stacks.
Right. Well, that's the other thing that I kind of missed out on, though, because if you had the dining plan in the latter years, you could use those snack credits for food and wine. And almost everything in food and wine was covered under that. Of course, not the main drinks or Canada, but everything else.
By the way, I think even last year for food and wine on the menus, they still had the little credit, the little symbol next to it, which is also tells me that they've not canceled that completely. Like, it's still in there. So in their calculations, eventually bringing it back, because they're still considering that when they make those menus.
Sure. Sure. So as we move on, the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party starts in mid-August. We're not sure the exact date yet, but that's what it was last year and the year before that.
I heard they were going to move it up in the March.
Halfway to March, or halfway to Halloween. We'll
see. That's the rumor. I saw that on WDWNT.
We want to have one of these parties every day of the year, so we're going to start having them a lot more expanded. Okay, so as we move into the fall, the events are still kind of a little sparse. However, we do get into November with Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. We get into November with the Disney Nerds Podcast's annual, or actually 10th annual, meetup and get together and gathering.
The planning has begun.
Yeah, we were talking about that before tonight. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible. 10 years.
Fall will not disappoint Disney Plus nor in the theater. So again, with that theme of Marvel, we'll see Ironheart and X-Men 97, which is an animated kind of reimagined, revisiting the 1992 series X-Men and the animated series. So if you loved the 90s Saturday morning cartoons,
that was good.
Yep, this will be for you. Pixar also will have something premiering on Disney Plus. It's called Win or Lose. And then at the theater, we will get on September 22nd, Taika Waititi's Next Goal Wins. It's going to be a live action. And oftentimes we forget about the Fox acquisition. So Fox Searchlight and 20th Century Fox on September 15th will be premiering A Haunting in Venice. So if you were the Agatha Christie fan and like the series Death on the Nile, or there was one on a train, that will be the next one. And so just had to add in a kind of, you know, sister company of Disney in there.
Oh yeah. Murder on the Orient Express.
That's what it is. Yeah.
That was really
I really
good,
enjoyed the Death of the Nile. Yeah, so well, I need to go back and watch the other
ones. And they have come out with a couple newer movies, newer Agatha Christie movies. Death on the Nile had the girl who plays Wonder Woman as one of the stars in it.
Gal Gadot.
Right, but they also have the actor playing Hercules Poirot is the guy who played Gilderoy Lockhart in the Harry Potter series, which I apologize, I don't remember his name off the top of my head. And he's really good with that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So if you haven't seen him, it's going to be called A Haunting in Venice, and it's a part of that series. So the detective, he will be back.
Kenneth Branagh.
Cool. Yep.
Yes, yep. And what's cool is in the Death on the Nile, I think that's the one where they explain why he wears the mustache. And it's a great story, and I'm not going to ruin it for anybody, but it's awesome if you're a fan. So very good.
And do you also want to mention that Kenneth Branagh is also the director of these movies?
Yeah, he's so a really good director.
Not only is he playing the detective, he's also the director. Which
really?
Is
that's cool. I'm going to have to watch
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He also directed the live action Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. No, he's done a lot of movies. It's surprising.
One? The one
like
with
the Disney one?
The Disney
the
one,
Disney
yeah.
One.
Well, there's like one with Brandy in it. There's,
no,
there's
I know.
Which
I
is
know.
Disney too. But...
Which is also Disney. That's on Disney Plus too.
By the way.
Well, very cool. Now, I have a lot of things for the parks in late 2023. So we don't have actual dates for these guys. So we're just going to go one by one. And a lot of them we've heard a lot about. Excuse me. And a lot of them are at Epcot. The first one is Journey of Water, inspired by Moana, which I just read yesterday that they put new, I don't know if it's like ceilings or coverings or something like that, that you could see over the walls. So they're moving along. Also, late 2023, Dreamers Point, which is going to be that location, that area where you can get together for, I think they're going to have like concerts and they're going to have displays and, or am I thinking of something else?
Dreamers
no,
Point.
I'm thinking of something else. No, Dreamers Point has Walt sitting and it's going to be in front of Spaceship Earth, I think. What I'm thinking about is Communicore Hall and Plaza, which is also in late 2023. And that is going to have musical bands. It's going to have exhibitions. It's going to have demonstrations. It's going to have mixology sessions. So, so I'm looking forward to that.
I really hope that they bring the mixology classes, the culinary classes, cook with the chef, meet with the brewmaster of some brewery from Japan during Food and Wine. We've done half a dozen of them when they were running pre-COVID, and they were amazing. Well worth the money. Met some really cool chefs, learned a lot of techniques, enjoyed some cheese and wine and ports and beers I would have never had access to. So,
well, let me tell you, 10 years ago, that was one of the first things we did.
Yeah,
that was the first Disney Nerds podcast meetup. Is we went to a mixology seminar.
Oh, it was great!
All right, we've Disney, hear us. We're going to do another one. If you hold it, we'll do another one for the meetup.
That guy was the first one we went to, Ed, which was the Scotch.
Mm-hmm.
Was the best. One. It was the best one. I forgot what Scotch it was. It was a blended Scotch. It wasn't like a. It was. It's going to bother me now. But the person who did it had this little mixer that was electric with the little spinner in it. We all bought one of those.
Got one.
It was a good promo.
It's really fun. I use it once in a while.
Yeah, it's cool.
The second one we went to, I think, was Vodka. Wasn't it?
Eddie Vodka.
Right. Yeah. That was a good one, too. And that was part of our Friday night walk around where we would do the mixology session first, and then we'd meet up with everybody.
And this was this was kind of something we did. Like, it wasn't like an open invite. It was like something we did as just the podcast to kind of get together and spend a little time together. And it was in the old Wonders of Life Pavilion when that was the festival center. I wish they would do more of that. And I wish they would do more of that center was so great because they had the Giardelli thing back there with all the chocolate creations. They had the simmering shimmering sips was in there.
They had a restaurant in there too.
They had all kind of really good stuff. Oh, they had a place.
They also had
liquor and wine.
They had the movie. They had that movie, The Making of Food and Wine.
Yep.
Which was very great to see the behind the scenes and how they put together the whole festival and stuff like that. So they had a lot of stuff going on in there. Oh well. Late 2023, the Harmonious replacement will be opening. They don't give us a date. They don't give us any information. Figment meet and greet, which we mentioned earlier, is for late 2023. So that's going to be over at the Odyssey. And I imagine the entire Odyssey is going to be redesigned, reimagineered inside there to kind of fit and organize this whole thing. Here's something coming in late 2023 that I did not hear about, and I think this is probably one of the better announcements. The Hatbox Ghost is coming to the Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World. Yep. So he will be taking his what? Well, what are you going to say about that?
I don't like it.
I think it's great.
I don't like it homogenized. I think, you know, like Pirates in Disneyland has things that Pirates in Disney World doesn't have.
You make a point there. You make a point.
You know, they didn't put the stairs in. Why does it all have to be? Why can't Hatbox Ghost just be a Disneyland thing?
I want the Hatbox Ghost. I'm going to fight you on this one. But I see your point. I definitely like the idea of the parks being a little different. Hey, there's a Toontown out in California, so you can go head out that way.
Yeah, this was actually one of the big announcements from the D23 Expo. I'm saving judgment for when it's in, and I see it for myself.
Have you been to California?
No.
You're going to love it.
Are we going to go to California? You want to go to California? 2024?
You got to try it out. Yes, Happily please. Ever After is coming back, like we mentioned earlier.
With that being said, it's not the same show.
Right.
It's going to be a difference. It's going to be a somewhat different.
Yeah. Well,
they're going to take advantage of all the technology they've gained in the last couple of years. And I'm sure that Main Street's going to be lit up.
I would imagine the soundtrack is probably going to be the same. I would
think. For the D23 Expo, they played that song. So I wouldn't think that they're going to announce that Happily Ever After is coming back and play that song. But when it comes back, here's a whole new different song because people will be upset.
I could see it happening. Also in Disney Springs, the only Disney Springs news I got, but I'm sure there's more than this. Summer House on the Lake restaurant will be opening. Don't know much about that other than it probably will be on the lake.
I'm assuming that's where the Gloria Estefan place used to be.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going, but it's actually a California inspired menu with simple and sustainable ingredients is what it says.
That's what it's got to be, which is interesting because now just recently they closed the Sosa Family Cigar place. Mm-hmm. Which was right across the pathway from the, what was the name of that place? That
Bongos was Gloria Stefan's place.
And interestingly enough, after they closed that, at one point we were there for one of the meetups and like, there was like, they tore the whole building down, like the metal structure and everything.
Oh, so wow.
I don't know what was going on with that place, but I think that's where this is going, right there on the water where Bongos was.
How about that? Okay.
So no place to get a cigar anymore, Ed.
You got to bring your own.
Yep.
That was the cool thing about Bongos was they allowed you to smoke on the patio.
Right.
So you could walk over to Sosa, get a cigar, have them light it for you, and just walk across the path and go sit on the patio at Bongos and get a drink and sit and smoke your cigar.
I didn't know that.
Nice.
Not only do we have that restaurant in Disney Springs, but the Cake Bake Shop at Boardwalk
open. Canceled. We're not talking about them. Not promoting them. Not.
It's kind of funny how the only person different from last week's show, meaning Sam was here last week with us, the big complaint he had was ESPN going away. Jimmy's continuing on.
And that may be like, if you know me and Sam, that may be one of the only things we agree on. So there you go.
Very cool.
But that technically is something coming in 2023. So
sure, because we need more cake places at Disney World.
Yeah, there's not enough bakeries.
That's a big cake place. That's a big footprint.
It's so ridiculous. I want to sit down with the people who decided this and be like, was ESPN not busy enough for you? Like, you had to wait to get in there every day. Like, was that not enough? Now we need a bakery? I don't understand.
I'm going to just have another my bakery. Fingers crossed that ESPN is going to take over the NBA failed experience. And then you'll have a huge place to watch any game you want and maybe, you know, do some virtual reality games.
I would love to see that happen, but they gotta know that they're losing money to Splitsville and And what's the place?
Well, even just outside of Disney World, people are going to go to watch games if that's the case.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's I don't know. It's probably same people that decided to close ESPN and put the Bake Shop there are the same people who decided to put the NBA experience where it was.
Well, I want to get the arcade back. So Disney let's put the ESPN Center in there. Let's get a lot of sports arcade games. Let's get all the TVs up. And
absolutely. I'm in. Let's do it.
Cool.
Disney, you can send the royalty checks to the Disney Nerds podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Correct.
Well, very on the movie side and Disney Plus, we're going to finish out the year strong. For winter, we know, again, another Marvel, Agatha Coven of Chaos will come to Disney Plus.
Which is so cool that that's a spinoff.
That's crazy how they picked her.
It's a spinoff of a spinoff.
I loved her.
I got to wonder if it's going to be a lot of Scarlet Witch in there. It's either going to be a lot of Scarlet Witch or it's going to be none at all.
So you're saying you don't want the Boba Fett series, that which was really Mandalorian season.
That's it. Totally was the Mandalorian. That was season three.
I agree. But it's so cool that that's like a spinoff of a spinoff, like a spinoff of Scarlet Witch TV series, and it's a character from that was popular. It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
I need to know what happens with that person in the bee suit at the end. They came out from under the street and they were wearing the bee suit. And then I don't know what happened to this person.
Oh, that's right.
You said bee suit. And I'm thinking somebody dressed like a bee, not like a bee. you didn't say beekeeper suit. You said
beekeeper.
Oh, yeah.
That's an important word.
Wait, did I miss something? Was there somebody dressed like a bee in the show? No, there was a beekeeper. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then we get an animated movie. And this is going to be a traditional animated. So think Princess and the Frog. What was that?
It was the last hand-drawn
feature-length animation. It's going to be a hand-drawn. Yeah, and it'll be in time for Thanksgiving, November 22nd. It's called Wish. And what we know about it is it'll tell the story of the history of the Wishing Star.
Very cool.
Nice.
And I wonder if it won't coincide with Happily Ever After or Wishes or something with the fireworks show.
Did you guys see they're retheming one of the restaurants in New Orleans Square in Disneyland to Tiana's place?
Yeah.
Well, last week we mentioned that how Pecos Bills could be on the block, meaning they could be thinking down the road once we open up the new Splash Mountain that Pecos Bills could go that way, perhaps. Maybe, So we will see. We will see.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it.
And Ed, was it you that made a really good comment from last week's show? So this would have been after. where Tiana is actually closer geographically in kind of real life to Tom Sawyer's Island.
Sure. Right.
Than what sort of it's currently set up as. So this kind of makes sense. I could see this happening.
Tom Sawyer's Island and all that happened on the Mississippi.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Exactly. So now I don't know. I'm not really sure where though. But you're right. Missouri. It wasn't.
If I had to guess anywhere, it's Missouri. Yeah. Because I think that's where Clemens is from, or that's his area. But either way, it's the Mississippi, which dumps out in New Orleans. So you can't get away.
Yeah.
He also
spent a lot of time in New Orleans, so I'm not quite sure. Now I'm going to have to go read those books or listen to them anyway. But you're right. It's not out west where Big Thunder Mountain Railroad would be. So you're right. I mean, when you're looking at the Mark Twain riverboat making the turn with Big Thunder Mountain in the background, that really is kind of a clash because those two, a riverboat and those red mountains would never be in the same frame.
Right. Well, they're going around the island. And Melissa made a good point last week, too, about how we're starting out in Liberty Square with the colonial times on the East Coast. And we're moving down to the Midwest and to New Orleans and to the Mississippi. And then we end up on the Southwest with the roller coaster, Big Thunder. So it kind of still works really well.
I just hope they don't, again, the homogenization thing just bothers me a little bit, and I just hope they don't push that over to Pecos Bills and Country Bears and all that stuff, because that stuff.
Well, I don't think you'd have the same named restaurant, but I mean, we still have the Tortuga Tavern or whatever that place is called, we could still get Pecos Bill's type food there. That would fit Frontierland.
That's closer to New Orleans, actually, than...
Right, bro. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, anything that like the Pirates. That's kind of that's.
But not Disneyland. It's not
south
or Disney World.
No, but that's. I mean, that's where the Pirates were. Were south of New Orleans. You know.
Right. Yep. Oh yeah.
So that's.
And then yeah. Disney Plus does give us a list of things that are TBD. So if I can just kind of sprinkle these in at the end of, they could be coming any time in the year. So we have Star Wars Ahsoka. That's going to be top of my list to be able to see that one as well.
Yeah.
Marvel's What If, which is going to be a season 2.
Good.
You remember that? That was the animated series that very came good. Out a year that or two ago. Really they kind good. Of reimagined a thought.
Very good. Well, it introduced the multiverse.
Yep.
Yes.
They will also see Peter Pan and Wendy. And that one, we're starting to get some actually images and art that's showing up on Disney Plus for that. So I get a feeling that's coming a little sooner than later. But you know, it's still a DVD at least.
Is it a movie or a series?
Upcoming American fantasy adventure film directed by David Lowery, who wrote the screenplay with Toby Hallbrooks. Other things that we have coming, another Star Wars. It's going to be called Skeleton Crew. We get Muppets Mayhem, the Santa Claus season 2, which I would assume would come out around Christmas time again, like it did this year. And then we have our Tiana sequel, which I sort of think is going to be prepping us for that Tiana attraction reimagination. That's nice. It. I mean, there are still more. Like I said, there were 55 different promotions between Nat Geo, Hulu, Disney Plus, you know, all coming.
So
and,
much.
And I didn't even touch upon Nat Geo or Hulu.
Oh yeah, that's fine. And there's just so many other things coming to the parks. I'm sure we missed a couple of things out there, guys. Let us know. Send us an email. Tell us what we missed. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 468 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. We're talking all about 2023 and what we're looking forward to, and maybe not so much. So we'll see how it goes. For Jimmy, for Morgan, for Melissa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Guajarini.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
Congaloosh. Bye-bye, everybody.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token.